Get this, spring is only a little more than a month away. You wouldn't know it if you've looked out the window or just existed in Wisconsin lately. But believe it or not, new life will slowly start to reemerge. And even our lakes will start to wake up. Soon they'll take a deep breath of air. Literally. Ted Rolsey is the editor and publisher of several books on the Great Lakes region. He writes the column, The Lake Where You Live, and is active in lake advocacy organizations. He's the author of a Lakeside Companion published by the University of Wisconsin Press. Ted, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Ted, you wrote a recent piece about how lakes are starting to wake up. And it's interesting to think of, you know, a lake ecosystem hidden under the ice as kind of one organism. Could you talk about what we start to learn when we think about it that way?
Well, the lake is, in the wintertime, the lake is sort of a closed system. It's capped with ice. It might have some streams going in and out, but it's kind of a closed system, and everything is still living in there. The fish are still swimming around, the frogs, the turtles, the things that hibernate or get inactive under the ice are still breathing. And so slowly the oxygen in the water is getting depleted, and the lake is getting hungry for spring.
And I mentioned you write that the lakes take a breath of air as the ice melts off. What happens? How does it refill with oxygen?
Well, once the ice goes off, then the water is exposed to wind and wave action, and that stirs all that oxygen in. And because the water is of a reasonably uniform temperature throughout the lake at that time of year, the oxygen's able to permeate pretty much the entire system and get everything all charged for spring and summer.
Well, I jumped ahead a step there because first that ice has to melt. And you're right, I didn't know this. I would think, oh, the sun's shining at the top of the ice, so the top is going to melt first. I am wrong. What actually happens?
Well, ice actually melts from the bottom up. The sun shining on the lake's surface, the snow and the ice are very reflective. So most of the sunlight just bounces back up into the air. The warm air does do its job on the ice, but most of the melting comes from when the sunlight penetrates the ice and radiant heat heats up that bottom sediment, and especially along the shorelines where the ice is the first to go out. And then once that water is warmed up, water holds a lot more energy than air. So that melts the ice from underneath. And it actually, once it gets started, happens pretty fast.
And that ice crystalline structure is changing. What's going on?
Ice looks like a monolithic block, a solid substance, and it acts that way. But in reality, it's made up of crystals. They're kind of hexagonal crystals, a bit like the honeycomb in a beehive, and those crystals extend from the top of the ice to the bottom. And as the ice begins to thaw, the packed tight structure of those crystals begins to break down, so they start to separate. And so it's called candled ice. When the crystals are formed that start to separate, that's called candled ice, and it's very unsafe to walk on, very unstable. You can break through a foot of ice very easily with candled ice where you couldn't in summer. If you ever saw a big chunk of ice blown up onto the shore from an ice push or something and it's candled and you were to tap at that, these ice crystals would fall away and it makes kind of a musical noise like a wind chime.
That's the time of year in my hometown of Belleville, Michigan, that trucks would start to fall through Belleville Lake, I guess, when that ice starts to candle. It looked like solid ice, but it doesn't support the weight like it used to, right?
Oh, that's right. It can be very hazardous. You should, if the ice is suspect, you need to stay off.
Now, let's talk about some of the signs we really start to see. We can observe that ice melting once the melt comes to the top. I know a lot of us, I'll include myself with this, to get excited when some of those birds start returning to the open water. What's the sequence of re-arrivals there?
I don't know I'm not a birder, so I don't know a whole lot about the sequence, but one of the first to arrive, of course, are the loons. They've been down in the Gulf of Mexico area during the summer, and in the springtime, they're making their way up. And just about as soon as the lake's clear of ice, the loons are there calling out and scoping out their nesting territories. And then later on, we'll get the various species of migrating ducks, and mergansers are pretty much the earliest arrivals, but we also get canvasbacks and grebes and lots of others coming through, some of which are going to hang around for the spring and summer and raise their broods, and some are just passing through on the way north.
We are talking to Ted Rulsey, editor and publisher of several books on the Great Lakes region, talking about the wake-up time for lakes as the ice starts to thaw and life starts to return visibly to the lakes themselves. Okay, now let's talk about the unsung heroes of the food chain here, the algae. Ted, what's the process there in the spring?
Yeah, the algae are really fundamental to the food chain. They're called the primary producers. They're the ones that take the energy of sunlight to make food that gets eaten by the little creatures, which get eaten by the bigger creatures, and so on up the food chain. And so the algae they die off significantly during the winter, not completely, but when the ice goes off, the water is actually pretty clear then, and it stays clear through part of the springtime. Then the first to reemerge are the diatoms, and these are algae, one-celled algae that have very symmetrical silicon little cell walls. And they actually, when they arrive, will turn the water a bit of a tinted brown. Then they will sink down to the bottom because they don't have any way to keep themselves afloat, and the green algae will then proliferate, and that's how the food chain gets started.
And further up the chain, now it's fish spawning time. Sometimes even while the ice is still there, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Northern pike, for example, will sometimes spawn under the ice. They'll go back into really shallow, marshy areas. They'll be one of the first arrivals. If there's muskies in the lake, they'll be spawning a bit later and in a little bit of deeper water. And then walleyes, of course, people pretty much know as soon as the ice is out, they're going to be spawning on the rocky, gravelly bars. And later on, we get the panfish, the bluegills, crappies, large and smallmouth bass. They'll start making their nests and raising their broods.
Now, I got to ask, Ted, a lot of people love our lakes here in Wisconsin. What led you to really zoom in so closely on lakes and what's going on below the surface?
I've enjoyed lakes ever since I was little, and especially the lakes up north. My dad took my brothers and me to a lake in the Upper Peninsula when I was about 8 years old, and I was hooked. And there's just so much to be fascinated about, just what you can observe. But being the curious sort and being kind of a science buff, I studied some limnology, which is freshwater biology, in college, and have learned about lakes pretty much as I've gone. And a few years ago, I decided to dig into it a little deeper and write a lake science column for the newspapers. And it's a way of helping people appreciate their lakes, and it's also a way for me to keep learning about lakes.
Now, there are a lot of layers, clearly, to the lakes. And you write, literally, as things warm up, our lakes will separate out into temperature layers. What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. The water on the surface warms up. And warmer water is less dense than colder water. So as the summer goes on, as the spring turns into summer, you have a layer of warm water sitting on top of a layer of cold, denser water. And the two don't actually mix very much. And the transition layer between those two zones is called the thermocline. And if you can experience the thermocline if you go fishing, the warm water on the surface, you do one of those feet-first surface dives and propel yourself down. And your feet will feel warm, 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 and then all of a sudden they'll hit cold. And that's when you know you've punched through the thermocline and your feet are in that cold, deep, cold, colder, denser layer.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Ted, are you excited to see the first thaw this year?
Oh, boy, especially after these 10 days we've just had. It's really hard to think spring about now, but I've got my pier boards piled down beside the lake, and hopefully not too long from now, I'll be putting the pier in.
That sounds lovely. Ted, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Ted Rulsey, editor and publisher of several books on the Great Lakes region. He writes the column The Lake Where You Live for the Lakeland Times in Minocqua and is active in lake advocacy organizations. He's the author of A Lakeside Companion. He joined us to talk about what our lakes do when the weather starts to warm up. There's a world going on under the surface.